every time I turn on the TV and I watch the news, I hear this little voice in my head.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
I don't think anywhere in our American history have we seen such a time as the one we're living in today. If you had told me 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, if you had told me some of the insanity they're trying to pass off today as normal and people would be actually buying into it, honestly, I would have told you, I think you're nuts. I mean, you know, yeah, 62 genders, that makes all the sense in the world. Sure, we're going to have 62 genders. Sure, we only have 10 years left before we will destroy the world with climate change. Been hearing that one for 50 years. So whenever I hear somebody talk about climate change, all I hear in my head...
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
Or how about Rachel Levine? You've seen this person running. They're trying to get her as the... or him, really. It's him. I don't care. You can tell me I'm insensitive. You can call me whatever you want. But that's Mr. Levine. That's no Rachel. That's a mentally ill man standing in front of you saying, yeah, transgenderism is a real thing and little children should be able to decide to have their bodies mutilated. Whenever I hear Mr. Levine talk, all I hear is...
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
And while there may be some misunderstanding, what about Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head? You know, Hasbro, well, they're going to keep the characters around, but what they announced last week, well, they're gonna have a whole new part of the Potato Head family where, you know, they'll still be around, but the idea is that Hasbro wants to have it both ways. They want to expand the brand while not killing off its most iconic characters. You actually saw that. Remember those in Toy Story? And they're looking to broaden the franchise. So now we can have gender-neutral Potato Heads. And people and groups like GLAAD and any other LGBTQ advocacy group, they applauded this really inclusive Potato Head. And when I listen to you people, all I hear is...
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
What I really find amusing sometimes is I'll put on for maybe 2 or 3 minutes CNN or MSNBC, and I'll watch one of their talking heads just spout out some of the most insane and ridiculous stuff you've ever heard, that if anybody had ever gotten on CNN back in the 1990s and said that, they would be put in a rubber room because they would be considered absolutely insane and crazy. But this is what is being passed off as the new normal. And all I hear in my head...
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
Then you have those that are currently in charge in Congress, and they're busy building a wall to protect them in Washington, D.C., while tearing down the wall on our border. All I hear in my head, yeah, we're going to tear down the wall on our border, and then we're just going to build a wall around the Capitol building, and all I hear is...
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
Or how about this little gem from a couple of weeks ago? And I assure you, this was really said. You know, in Texas, when they had the, you know, bad winter storm, and they do get them every once in a blue moon. They're not often, but it's not climate change. This has been going on every 20 or so years, maybe every 30 years, you get a slammed-in snowstorm like they had. Of course, in the past, all the power stayed on. But here, this is what blew me away, to hear some of these people say if they had just had more green energy, like more windmills, and if they had more solar panels, they would have been fine. And all I hear is...
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
In all honesty, I could spend pretty much the entire program and every program this week just citing some of the insane and ridiculous things that are said by people in our government, in our news media, movie stars and actresses that think they know more than anybody about anything, and we actually care about their opinion, which I really don't, and I hope you don't either. And then I'll give you another one. This is my last absurdity for now. And then we'll talk about some other things and put this into a very important perspective. The fact checkers. You know, the fact checkers. You find them, I guess, in social media like Facebook. Twitter has a narrative. If you defy it, they basically shut you down. They cancel you out. You know, the cancel culture, you disagree with the company line. Even if the company line is an out-and-out lie, if you don't believe the lie, you get canceled. I'm going to give you one. You know, you've heard of Politico. Politico is trying to pass along one of the biggest piles of manure that I've seen them try to do. Not long ago, like last week, there was a debate about the Equity Act. And, you know, this Equity Act creates rights to for more abortions and force Americans to fund them. And there are a lot of things in that bill besides transgenderism things. And there was a debate. And there was a debate in the halls of Congress. And Representative Greg Strube from Florida, he upset the Democrats when he made the statement that God makes boys and girls unique. And Jerry Nadler, who was chairing that or was one of the members of it, he came out and made a statement. Now, PolitiFact has the guts to say that Jerry Nadler did not say that. You're lying. It's all false. They have the big falsometer there. You know, it's all false. Nadler didn't say that. You're lying. And they're trying. If you try to post that on Facebook, you'll get a thing, you know, this is not true information. The fact checkers have weighed in to tell you this is not a fact. And their phony facts say that Jerry Nadler didn't say it. Yet, I do a radio program, and I've got a pair of ears, and I can hear exactly what Jerry Nadler said. And this is what he said to the representative from Florida.
Mr. Stube, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
Now, there you have it. That's pretty much what Jerry Nadler said. And PolitiFact is trying to tell you he didn't say that. They try to talk about those that would say that Nadler, it was just encouraging his colleagues in the House to vote in favor of an act which would prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And, he didn't say that is what they're saying. So let me play again what he apparently, according to PolitiFact, didn't say. Now, maybe I'm hearing this wrong. Listen carefully. What does Jerry Nadler say to the other congressman from Florida who had indicated that God has created boys and girls, men and women uniquely? And what does Jerry Nadler say? And what does PolitiFact say he didn't say? Listen for yourself.
Mr. Stube, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
Aren't you glad that PolitiFact made it clear that he never said that? Wow. Yeah, technically maybe a slight misquote by a word, but still the intent. The intent of what Nadler said still holds. You know, they're saying it's a misquote. It's a misquote. No, Nadler said what he said, that, you know, whatever God's will is of no concern to this Congress. I heard it. You heard it. But they want to make an issue out of it and make it like it's a big deal. And a lot of people that don't pay attention, that don't really get into the news, that are so busy with their day-to-day life, they'll assume those crazy Christians are at it again, saying things that are not true. Nadler doesn't care about the will of God when it comes to things in the United States House of Representatives. Okay, I get it. Most Democrats today don't. They booed God back in 2012, you know, at their political convention and made no bones about it. There is no place for God among most Democrats today. There is room for 62 genders, and there are those in the Democrat Party, and I kid you not, that are beginning to think that maybe sex between a grown man and a young boy should be normalized. And all I hear in my head,
stupid is, stupid does, sir.
But of the truth really be known, it's something that is far beyond stupid. Let me just kind of share something I learned years ago, back when I was studying electronics, you know, back in the Stone Age, when we're trying to just get sparks together. I learned something from a guy that was teaching electronics. I think he had taught it in the Navy. And he made the statement, I've heard it repeated a lot of times over the years, and it's kind of a true statement. Ignorance can be cured, but stupid is forever. And let me say that again. Ignorance can be cured, but stupid is forever. So let me see if I can break that apart, and then we're going to move into something that's really our topic for today. When people don't know something, that's ignorance. They don't understand. They've never been taught. It's new. You go to a different place, you're ignorant of their customs. You may make a mistake. It's not that you intended. It's just you don't know. That's called ignorance. And education always cures ignorance, especially if it's an honest education, dealing in facts and not dealing in emotion. You can cure ignorance. Stupid, in my definition, are those that know the facts and choose to ignore them. That's a better way to put it. If you are given the facts and you have the ability to discern the facts and you choose to reject the facts, well, that's stupidity. That's the best definition. It's not like a mental deficiency or something you have no control over. In most cases, stupidity is something that you self-impose upon yourself. And oftentimes, and this is what I want to get into, and I want you to think about this, because it's been in the back of my mind for a while, and I've been trying to find a way to share this thought because of the days that we're living in. We are truly living in some weird times when people like Dr. Mr. Levine, I refuse to acknowledge him as some kind of a woman. He is a man, and he's got a terrible looking hairstyle, but he is still a man. And there was a confrontation, if you saw it last week, I'm not going to have time to play it now, though I wish I did, between Senator Rand Paul and Mr. Levine. And Rand Paul was talking about, in some cultures, you know, there is what is called and genital mutilation, for, in other words, just altering. It's a custom in many parts of the Middle East. And he kind of ascribed to some of this stuff we're doing with transgendered children as mutilation. In other words, does an 8-year-old or 9 or 12-year-old child have enough understanding, enough knowledge, enough background, enough life experience to make decisions about amputating parts of their body? And so he's asking the question, and he's saying, Dr. Levine, I just say, Mr. Levine, do you think that it's all right for young children like, you know, 9, 10, 12, to make these life-changing decisions of amputating and permanently mutilating their bodies? And Mr. Levine refused to answer that question. I mean, he just gave some stock answer that the science of transgender is rapidly changing and fluid. Come to my office and we'll talk about it. Both times when he's asked the question, because I think even the reprobate mind knows it's wrong and it's evil. And I consider Mr. Levine a very dangerous and evil man that they were trying to put into a place of power over our health. The man is either demon-possessed or mentally ill. Take your choice. Normalcy is not a man growing long hair, running around in a dress, and calling himself a woman, and thinking it's all right for children to self-mutilate. and destroy their bodies and take, you know, take these hormone blockers that destroy their puberty. There's a little fact that Mr. Levine chooses not to share. Over the last, I don't know, 5 or 10 years as this has become, it's been around in some places a little longer. It wasn't a thing 40 years ago. How many little boys were wanting to become little girls and little girls trying to become little boys outside of the normal pre-adolescent period of tomboys, as we used to call girls, that like to climb trees and compete a little bit with boys? It's normal. But what is not normal is to want to take knives and cut apart your body and think that's going to make you feel better. And this is the kind of reprobate mind that Mr. Levine has. This is the kind of reprobate insanity that Satan has spread into the highest parts of our government in the United States. It is the kind of reprobate insanity that has found its way into most of the Western governments in the world, where things like facts, things like real science, are now co-opted by a culture. And the culture becomes the new science. Now, I spent some of yesterday talking about how we can get sidetracked, those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ. There are so many things that we need to be talking about. And like Q Anonymous, that ended up being just bogus, just a bunch of baloney, and had a lot of people following, and now they're kind of embarrassed, like, oh my Lord, I was following this. I really believe, and I'm going to just, my opinion, it's all it is my opinion. I think the entire Q Anonymous was a reverse psychop to get people who were concerned about this nation really believing that there was an insider that knew the swamp and it was all going to be fixed. And everybody followed this anonymous guy and the Q drops is what they got were called. And when it was all said and done and the election came and went and, you know, there came January the 6th and January the 20th, 14 days later, when Biden, I'm not sure if he knew what he was doing when he did it, took the oath of the office of the presidency of the United States. What about Q? Was it all a lie? Apparently so. And between the Capitol, you know, insurrection, as they call it, they lied a lot about the officer that was killed. You know that. We've talked about that already. You know, the officer was not killed by being beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. He died of probably a stroke a day later after he had talked to family and was feeling fine. And as I said on yesterday's program, in one of the most secure buildings in the entire world, with all the cameras that capture every motion, every face, everything, there's no video. Not a one video of this officer being beaten to death with a fire extinguisher, as the New York Times claimed and CNN claimed and MSNBC claimed. They all lied. Somebody gave them a lie. They ran with it, and Americans believed it. And those that were concerned about the election suddenly were scared to speak and retreated. Let's be honest, that's what happened. People became afraid to speak their mind on this issue, and they retreated rapidly. That was the plan. I believe firmly that elements of our own government made sure that happened. They knew there were things that could happen, and they chose to allow things to happen. They wanted these optics. How many of the news media talked about five people died because of the Trump supporters, and they were going to kill people in the House of Representatives, and a police officer is dead because of a Trump supporter? We all heard that. Am I correct, or am I making this up? So what about, we heard five died, so what's the story about the five? Well, this officer, this Capitol, you know, police officer, died, and now we're finding out from the family it was not from anything that happened at the Capitol on January the 6th. And there's been no release of any autopsy, and his body was cremated, and then for optics he was placed in the Capitol Rotunda like a fallen president, with Nancy Pelosi and all of her Democrats just looking so somber with their black face mask and the American flag next to the cremains of this fallen officer killed at the hands of Trump supporters, right days before they're going to have the impeachment trial. Let me ask you another question. Okay, five died. Who died? What about the other four? Well, we know three were just medical emergencies. I want you to think about something. There were hundreds of thousands of people in D.C. In a town of 100,000 people, how many times a day does an ambulance have to go out for, I don't know, a stroke or a heart attack? Several times. And this is what happened to three of the participants. Heart issues, disease, and strokes that had nothing to do with anything. It would have happened in their hometown. Just happened to happen in Washington, D.C. So what about the fifth? Well, a Trump supporter following others through a broken window at a door is shot by a police officer. There you go. But somehow the only story of any consequence was a Capitol Hill police officer was beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. And we find out now it was an absolute and total lie, completely. We live in an age of misinformation and lies, and this is part of why I do a program called Truth to Ponder. Because we're being inundated daily with lies in the media, social media. Sometimes it's just omission of certain facts. I'm being serious. It's just sometimes it's a simple omission. And because of that little omission, you get a different feel. You know, during the impeachment trial, and I really didn't plan to get into this, and I promise in the next part of the program, I'm going to get to what's really important. But I just happened to think, during the impeachment trial, this phony, I'm sorry, you have basically spit on the Constitution, ripped it up, shredded it, and burnt it. You made a mockery of it. Trying to impeach a private citizen, number one, is totally insane. And even though I think that Justice Roberts has been a thorough disappointment, and I sometimes wonder if he is compromised, in all honesty, he did make the right decision, saying, "I'm not coming to this circus. Now you can put whoever you want up there, but count me out." I would wonder if it would ever have passed a Supreme Court test what they were doing. But there was so much that was said that was just basically edited. The president said this way back in Charlottesville, Virginia, and they play a few moments of something he said, but they take out the most important part that completely reverses the impression they were trying to give. You know, we call that in the world of theology a sin of omission, not just a sin of commission. Commission is an act. The other one is you fail to act. You fail to do right. And by taking out and implying the opposite of what somebody said is a sin of omission. And they were really good at that for days. Sins of omission. By every minute, another sin of omission. The entire thing was a lie. We have now a Congress that is run by Nancy Pelosi, who is a retrobate mind. Period. I don't want to hear that I'm a good Catholic, but I believe in abortion. There is no such thing as being a good, praying, believing, loving Catholic that believes in ripping apart human life in the womb and considers that normal all the way up to the time of birth. Try to do that to an American bald eagle or a whale. See how far that'll land you in prison. Or even certain eggs that are protected of all these species can put you in jail. But killing of human beings needs to be funded now with taxpayer money. And we need to let, you know, boys that came in, you know, third and fourth in men's track and field can now play in girls' track and field, and now they can become, win the one, the first and second place. This is the kind of reprobate mind insanity that has taken over our world. And what has the church done about it prior to the pandemic? What have we really said? I used over the weekend, for those who listen to the Friday and weekend version of the program, a lot of people that claim the name of Christ are sometimes ashamed of the name of Christ when it comes to the public forum and where they work. They want to be, you know, just fit in, you know, one of the guys, as they would say back in my time. Do you really think that denying Christ before your coworkers is going to still have Christ claiming you before his Father? You need to be thinking about that one.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Quickly with your enemy in a moment. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Messiah tells us this. If you are presenting an offering to God on the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there at the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother. Then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way. Now, the Lord's making a point. We need to hear it. He's saying that even above offerings to God, we need to make peace with anybody who we might have a conflict with. If we say we love God, but are holding something against somebody in our life, we're lying. This is radical stuff, and most believers don't take him seriously. Some take him seriously to a point that they should try to resolve any conflicts they might have with another person. But notice what Messiah said. He said, make friends quickly with your opponent. In other words, conflict with others is in your life like fire. It's dangerous. It tends to grow, and it only destroys, and it puts you in danger of judgment. So how should you view conflicts in your life? Like fire. Be quick to make peace. If there's somebody in your life you're estranged from, or somebody you've got something against, any grudge, any bitterness, any complaint, as much as it's in your power, make peace. It's not an option in salvation. It's a command. Make peace and do it with speed. Bless them and do it today. Break down the wall and do it now. Then your offering will be accepted to God and your life will be blessed. Want more? Ask for Reka. Now, the free gift for you, the most incredible evidence and proof of Jesus as Messiah discovered in the writings of the rabbis. You'll get it in the mystery of the temple doors, plus sapphires guaranteed to give you the power of living a victorious life in God, all free. So how do you get all these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's all you do. But you got to do it now. Dial 1-800-YESHUA-1, and you'll be so blessed. But call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. So listen, my friend, you're on this earth for a great purpose, to be a blessing. So I invite you to join with me in bringing the greatest blessing to the unreached peoples of this world, salvation to five continents with over a billion people. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, the nice Jewish boy, box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, zip is 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy. It's box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. and the zip 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah Adon Olam, the Lord of all.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
I want to welcome you back to part two of our program for today, Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. In the next part of the program, I want to talk about something that I think we oftentimes forget. Many Christians have never really gotten into this, studied it like they should, or understand a lot of things that can be very easily explained in Scripture to explain the strange world we're living in today. If you go back to, let's say, my time as a child, the things that we feared when I was a little kid was Russia, actually the Soviet Union. And I lived 35, 40 miles east of New York City, and it would be a target for a Soviet missile. And so we learned how to, you know, prepare for a nuclear bombardment and having to survive through, you know, waiting for the all clear from the radioactive dust. That's what we were raised in as a kid. But you know something? As I look back now, and I look at my father and my mother, my grandparents, none of us ever really worried about it. Now, we had neighbors that built fallout shelters just in case. They were ready. They had their stockpile of food. How many remember those civil defense signs, especially in places that had basements, you know, where you could go for a fallout shelter? You remember those? But I remember the 60s, in spite of a presidential assassination and all the upheaval by 1968. I don't think that people lived in the fear that we live in today. We often just took life in strides and knew there were risks. We also had a deeper commitment to our faith in our churches that we've long since abandoned today. Now, the reason I do this program, Truth to Ponder, is to give you just that, information. As I've been reminding you, do I get it 100% right? I wish I could, but I doubt if I will. Do all my guests always get it right? Maybe, but doubtful. That's just what it is. We do our best trying to inform you and give you information, things you can double check, triple check if needed. There are times I look at some of the things we've talked about, and there's an amazing batting average, thank you, Lord, of things that we've talked about in terms of like pandemic numbers that have actually come out pretty much as we thought they would when you dissect them and look carefully and use simple third grade math. The numbers are there. If you believe in the ministry, just real quick, just let me know. Go to the website, truth2ponder.com, truth. The number 2 ponder.com. If you feel motivated to help out this, we just pay for airtime. I don't get paid. Nobody gets paid. There are no expenses, no perks, just basically what comes in goes right back out to the radio stations. And I'm hoping to get a little ahead and maybe try even a third station at some point, God willing. And you can mail to Ancient Word Radio. That's my parent ministry, Ancient Word Radio. And you can reach us at our home address, 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. That's number 263. And we are located in Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537. Now, let's get back to the topic at hand. And it's something that really is on my mind. I mean, I look at some of the things that I've watched over, I don't know, 30, 40 years. I've seen a few hearings in the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives. And I've seen people coming up for a position in government for the United States Senate, like for somebody, you know, wanting to be on the president's cabinet. And I remember many a Supreme Court justice that was being nominated, whether it be by a Republican or Democrat, and they just kind of sailed through with few exceptions. But something has happened so dramatically different in recent years. There is this, we must destroy and just ruin people's lives, their families, their livelihoods. They must be, and the term we're finding used more and more again today is canceled. We must cancel that to which we despise. And what they despise is anything decent and good. They despise God. They despise the idea of men and women. They despise the idea of a mother and father for a child. They consider it unnecessary. Government wants to be the mother and father and dictator of all in your life. And that is a very satanic thing. To interfere with what God has created. Evil despises what is good. Evil despises what is God's. Evil despises you. They want you dead and condemned. They want you to share the same fate as them. You know, St. Paul, I read his writings. I have this feeling as I would read about him and read what he wrote and understanding church history, even understanding some of the tension between St. Paul and the apostles in Jerusalem at times. Yeah, there was a bit of a tension. But Paul was given a unique calling to the Gentiles, and there's a lot I could say about that. Remember, he was the ultimate Jewish guy. He was of the Sanhedrin. He was among the elite of the Jewish people, and now God has called him. And guess what? He doesn't go to the Jews. He is sent to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, to graft them into the tree of life. But he writes a lot of things, and you know, I've always envisioned, even when I was 100 years ago in college, it was like, you know, man, this guy's a hothead. And he just calls it out like he sees it. You suddenly realize it's because of the passion that he has for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. He uses a term in the book of Romans that is so applicable to the state of our nation and world today. Some people go, is this world descending into a mass insanity? And the answer is yes, it is. It truly is entering a period, and it's happened before. Look at Germany. How that nation, with all it knew and had and could produce, fell for a Hitler and committed suicide, in essence, as a nation. How many churches followed the Third Reich and decided to be the pure German church and sold out their faith to a satanic and evil dictator? Many did. It's happening again today. The woke church in America is the dead church. It's the fine remnant on disgusting, reeking dead bodies. I could name them. You could probably name some of them too. That jettisoned the faith 30 and 40 years ago. And we're now reaping what we sowed back then in those woke churches that are all social justice and they're enjoining in the cancel culture. They want to cancel true Christianity because it shines a light on their evil darkness of the things they do. Same-sex weddings being one of them. St. Paul uses the term reprobate mind. Reprobate mind. And it screams loudly, that term, to me today. A reprobate mind, when you think about it, nothing more than someone who's been given over to their sinful passions and all those desires and of evil. It's a way of describing someone who is satisfying only the flesh and could care less about the Spirit of God. They reject God, just like Nadler did. You know, what God has to say has no bearing in this House of Representatives. By the way, Jerry, God will not be mocked. I'm not judging you, but God will. I don't have the authority. I don't have the what it takes to judge, because I myself am a sinner in need of God's grace. But we have now government, leaders in government at all levels, state, sometimes even local, definitely at the federal. They reject God. And as you reject God and His word and His plan, God will give you over to a reprobate mind as a condemnation. Look, one of the biggest warnings in Romans chapter 1, and I see it in what I call the Green New Deal movement. These are people that say we only have 10 years left to save our beloved Mother Earth. I've been hearing we only have 10 years left for 50 years. Actually, more like 51 or going on 52. 10 years, all we have. Or we'll have the Great Freeze. 10 years. Polar ice caps will be gone. 10 years. My house in Florida would be underwater. 10 years. 10 years. 10 years. All these dire predictions, none of which that should have happened by now have ever come true. Yet it's like a religion based only on feelings. The Green New Deal, worship the earth, sustainable energy. Yeah, see how that worked out in Texas? I know there are a lot more elements to that, but still, they didn't have a backup plan. A reprobate mind, that's a word you find in the Bible. It's more of a King James word in Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, just like Jerry Nadler said, you remember? Before I forget, what did Jerry Nadler say?
Mr. Stuvey, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
Yeah, I know. Politico's trying to tell you on Facebook that, you know, Jerry Nadler didn't really mean that. He really didn't say.
Mr. Stuvey, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
But he did say it. It's a reprobate mind. And I, this is not a judgment. This is just calling out what is obvious to see. You know, Jesus says you will know them by their fruits. I'm not here to judge Jerry Nadler. I'm here to say this is what he said, and this is what it's evidence of. He doesn't care what God thinks. It's of no bearing on this Congress. It goes back to the mindset you're finding all over Europe. And it was so beautifully displayed about 10 days ago when this government official in France talking about Christians, and he made an interesting statement that they could not understand how anybody could think the law of God is superior to the law of man. It made absolutely no sense. You would put the law of God over the law of man and the law of France, and how dare you do that? Well, it's happening today in the United States. The law of man is greater than the law of God. And you must listen to the law of man and ignore the law of God. And if you don't, we will cancel you. We will punish you. We will relegate you. We will destroy you. We will cancel you. The reprobate mind, according to St. Paul, according to Scripture, are people that refuse to retain God in their knowledge. And they're given over to a reprobate mind, according to Scripture, to do those things. The term is not convenient. Basically, if you tear apart the words used in the scripture, it's really depraved, debased, unapproved, unworthy, worthless, disapproved, rejected by God. That's what it means. You have pushed the envelope too far in your arrogance against God. And I'm really beginning to believe something as I look at the world today, that most of those people, perhaps all, but from what I'm gathering, so many of those people that have fallen into the reprobate mind somewhere in their life knew the difference between right and wrong. They knew what God's word said. Even if they come from a Jewish background, they understood the Torah and the Ten Commandments. And they've walked away and rejected it. They've cursed God. They've spit in his face. They mock his people. They've been given over to a reprobate mind. Every one of these people in government, I don't care if it's the Speaker of the House, the President, today's President, any of them that are pro-abortion right up to the moment of birth and claim to be a good Catholic is a liar and a fraud. They're neither. They are either, quote, a good Catholic, or they have a reprobate mind and they've spit on the faith and they've walked away believing a lie. They believe that I can have it both ways. I'm trying to find in the Bible the loophole I can have it both ways, that I can reject God's word and still be saved. I can't find that. But that is what you get with a demonic mind. You begin to believe the lie. And as it says, just as they did not see fit any longer to acknowledge God, he gave them over to that depraved or reprobate mind. You know, St. Paul also writes to the church at Corinth. Now, there's a place that probably is more like the United States today back then. It was a port town, so it had all kind of houses of prostitution, evil, and just, you know, you want to talk about a city full of debauchery, go to Corinth. And he says, but I discipline my body to make it my slave so that I, after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. That's what St. Paul says to the church in Corinth. He also tells them to test yourselves, to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Says a lot to the church at Corinth on this particular issue of the reprobate mind, because this is a town where people were trying to justify, well, okay, I want this salvation, I love this good news, but I kind of like the life I'm also living. Corinth, as well as other places, homosexuality was commonplace. It was an evil. And it's an evil that God has pointed out multiple times. And these are the people that oftentimes worship the earth more than they worship God. St. Paul used the term, they worship the creation rather than the Creator. That's the whole Green New Deal. We worship the earth. We don't care about the God that created this living planet, a tribute to a living God that can survive a lot more than we've thrown at it. I don't advocate abusing the earth or trashing the earth or littering the earth or strip mining the earth, you know, for battery power for our cars. It's being a reasonable steward, as we're commanded to do in the scripture. But no, we now have a government that wants to worship the earth, the Green New Deal, all the nonsense. It's going to kill people. It already has. Yet the reprobate mind thinks it'll work. And if we just had more windmills and more solar panels in Texas, it would have survived the what? St. Paul warns us all throughout Scripture. Jesus reminds us, and the Old Testament documents the things we need to understand. You know, in Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Mr. Nadler, that's you. Nancy Pelosi, that is you. This is not Bob Bierman saying this. This is what St. Paul says to Titus. They profess to know God. Yes, I'm a good Catholic, and I pray. And by their own deeds. Oh, we can kill babies all the way up to the time of their birth, and you have some that go beyond. Well, maybe even after they're born, you can make a decision. What? That's infanticide. But that is the reprobate mind at work. You know, if we had talked about in the early days when abortion first became a thing in the 1970s, I don't think the majority of us understood what we now scientifically understand today. And we were given the lie, oh, it's just some tissue. It's not a living thing. It hasn't done anything yet. And so we were all kind of, you know, placated not to worry about it. But as we began to understand and microphotography documenting the process of human life in development, a living being, suddenly the words of Scripture, I knew you in the womb as I knitted you, begin to make all the sense in the world to me. You know, if the Supreme Court had ruled in 1953 instead of 1973, I wouldn't be here. I'd be dead, just so you know, because I would have been an aborted child. I know that. I've learned that over the years. But no, I am here today. Thank you. The reprobate mind, I'll read that from Titus again. I want you to grab this. They profess to know God. These are the ones that run around, I'm the good Catholic, I'm this, and they reject all of the teachings of the faith that they find inconvenient. And so by their deeds, they deny him. They're disobedient, they're detestable. And what does St. Paul said? They're worthless for any good deed. Any good deed. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, but if it's thorn and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed. It ends up being burned. So in Romans chapter 1:28, at the end of that passage documenting the human ungodliness that goes from verses 18 through 27, grab your scripture if you want to look it up. He uses a wordplay when you think about it to sum up this indictment against the evil heart of man. Since humanity tested and rejected God, it's not approved. The knowledge of God is gone. It's given over to an evil and reprobate, worthless, unthinking mind, where insanity becomes normalcy, where 62 genders seems normal, where we're butchering your body to change your gender seems quite appropriate. And there's nothing wrong with that, to have a 9-year-old say, Mommy, I want to cut off my breast, or I want to cut off my whatever, and it's all normal. And fill them full of hormones to change their voice and alter puberty. Alter God's plan. We live in a world now where the reprobate mind runs our media, the reprobate mind runs much of what we find on the internet, and the reprobate mind is now the majority in Congress. That's the only way to describe it. The reprobate mind is what you're going to find at the World Economic Forum. The reprobate mind has worked its way into the United Nations. The reprobate mind is the European Union. The reprobate mind is the party that wants to enslave you into evil. And you don't want to see it. That's when I said earlier in the program, Ignorance can be cured. Stupid is forever. That's when you choose to ignore the truth and you walk away and the stupidity sets in and eventually a reprobate mind follows. This word is used when you say rejected in the scripture in Hebrews. The word reprobate, the variations. It's a person cast away and rejected because they have failed to make use of the opportunities that have been given to them. Let me make that clear. You've been given the opportunity. You've been given the tools. You've been given the knowledge. You've been given the education, and you still, with everything, fail to make use of a gift. One of the saddest things in the world is when God gives you gifts and you just refuse to use them. Laziness sets in for some. They don't want to work. Let me remind something to those of you that are following this and you understand and you do believe in your Lord. No Christian, no true Christian can ever be of a reprobate mind. Let me explain this. If you are truly a follower of Christ, you will not be given over to a reprobate mind. I can't make that any more clear. No Christian can be of a reprobate mind. You cannot be of a reprobate mind because if you're indwelt by God by the power of His Holy Spirit, if you're born again, if you've been changed, if you've been buried in death with Christ in baptism and raised to a newness of life, you can't function with a reprobate mind. Listen, Christians will never be perfected in this life. But there's a difference between cursing God and walking from Him and claiming that you still have all of His benefits while challenging and cursing Him in all your thoughts and all your words and all your deeds. The reprobate mind, unsanctified, unholy, reeking of death in fine raiment. There's a lot of that going on today in government and sadly even in many of our churches. You know, we're going to talk this week, probably maybe tomorrow or the next day, about the church, the deceived church. The church, or those that think that the church, that are living in a phony and fake world. You've bought the lie, hook, line, and sinker. You've rejected Christ, His word, His sacrifice on the cross. You've turned it into a vulgar thing. Social justice, cancel culture, rejection of godly sexuality for something debased and disgusting. Yeah, we truly live a very unique time. If you believe in this ministry that we have here, would you let me know? You can send me an email. You can go to the You can just write Bob@truth2ponder.com. Bob@truth2ponder.com. The website, truth2ponder.com. You can hear prior episodes if you look. Also, if you would like to help us keep it on shortwave, every little bit helps. You can make an offering from the website or make a check to Ancient Word Radio and mail it to 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, that's our secure box, in Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, Truth, the number 2, and the word ponder.com. That's Truth, the number 2, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.